Great to be with you once again. I just came back from our nation's capital, where we had the March for Life. It was a wonderful event. I went with 10 teenagers from St. Clement's in El Paso. We had a great, a large contingency with 10 teenagers. I think we had the most teenagers of anybody who brought teens to the youth event. So it was great to be there. I wrote a little article for you, and there's a couple little pictures. It's almost impossible to understand what happened in pictures, to see just endless waves of people. And I loved that we had these bright green hats, and pretty quickly people recognized us, and it's the green hat people, green hats. I mean, they were cheering us on. It was really wonderful to have an impact, and to have an impact as ACNA, to have a big enough group that we were recognized as a recognizable group within the March for Life was wonderful. So it was great to be there. One other thing, we stayed a day longer so that we could go to the Museum of the Bible, and which is in Washington, D.C. If you find yourself in D.C., I recommend that you would do the same and give yourself a day. It's an incredible building, an incredible collection of Scripture and the history of Scripture and the impact that Scripture has upon all our lives. And so I would highly recommend that you do that. And one last thing that I recommend for D.C. is go ahead and go to the Lincoln Memorial. The Lincoln Memorial is pretty amazing. But you're very close then to another one that a lot of people don't go to that I think you should go to. And that is about 5 minutes walk away is the Martin Luther King Memorial. And it is powerful. I've been there twice. And I would highly recommend that you make that walk and go to the Martin Luther King Memorial. But great to be there, but it's also great to be home. Keep me in your prayers, because as soon as I'm finishing up here with the vestry retreat on Saturday, I scoot back home, and 2 days later, I am going down into Mexico. We're going to have an ordination in Puerto Vallarta. I know that's terrible to have to go to Puerto Vallarta, but this will be the second, third ordination, actually, the second deacon that I'm going to be ordaining in Puerto Vallarta, and he's a great guy, and it's really exciting because in March, then, I have two more ordinations of deacons in Juarez. I tell you that by way of saying the ACNA encompasses Canada and Mexico, and so often we don't think in terms of Mexico as being part of us, and it is, and the Holy Spirit is clearly moving in Mexico and raising up another generation of young leaders, and so please pray for that, and pray for safety for those leaders and the safety of the people in the congregations in Mexico. It's very important. Psalm 84, the image that we had as we sang the gradual hymn, and the image that is in the psalm itself is the sparrows. I love birds, and so when I hear of sparrows doing something and the birds doing something, I pay attention, and it talks about the sparrows are happy. Why are they happy? Because they're dwelling in the house of the Lord. And if you've been to Israel and been up on the Temple Mount, of course, there's not a temple there anymore. It's two mosques that are up there, and the one that you are allowed to go into is the Black Mosque at the end up on the Temple Mount. And we went in there, and there's pillars, and it's pretty open. It's a pretty open mosque, and in these pillars at the top of them, at the crown of the pillar, there are nests of birds, even to this day. And so you're in there, and you see these birds zooming in and out, and if you project upon them, you could say, they're happy birds. And it's fun to watch them, but that's exactly the imagery that the author of Psalm 84 has given us. As he was in the temple, it wasn't a mosque at that time, it was the temple of God, and he's looking, and as he's worshiping, he's seeing the birds fly in and out, and his heart is singing. And he's hearing the birds singing. And so he is projecting upon the birds the joy that it is in his heart for being on the Temple Mount, at the temple. And I don't know if you've been there. You had Chuck here with you for a number of years, and Chuck loves to go to Israel, and I hope some of you took advantage of that. I'll let the cat out of the bag so that you don't need to ask questions about it. I have this tattoo here, and people ask the question, what is that? Well, that's a Jerusalem cross, and I got it in Jerusalem, and it talks about the pilgrims going to Jerusalem. This is actually a pilgrim's tattoo, and they've been doing it for over 500 years and 27 generations. The same family, which is incredible. The stamp that they used to give me the Jerusalem cross was over 500 years old. And so you're participating in a tradition of pilgrims going to Jerusalem. The reason I did it is because my son said, he was there with me, we were at GAFCON, Dad, when are we going to be in Jerusalem together again? We have to do this. I said, okay. And he goes, you first. So he's true. And every time I look at it, I think of our time. It's right by the Jaffa Gate. And I think of our time that I was with my son in Jerusalem. And going up to visit. Of course, we went to the Western Wall. You can't get up to the temple anymore. But the lessons this morning are all about the joy of being able to be in the temple of God and what it is to be a pilgrim, to seek to come into God's presence at his temple, the dwelling place, the meeting place of God and man. And the images are pretty remarkable. And, of course, the one image in Hebrews is just talking not so much about the temple itself as the high priest that would be at the temple, that would offer sacrifice for atonement to deal with our sins. And the lesson from Hebrews points out that really we move beyond the human high priest to a high priest that was human who understands us and understands our frailty, but who also happened to be God, Jesus, the eternal high priest. And once again, when you start talking in Hebrews then about the eternal high priest of Jesus, you've got to think of the eternal temple, the temple not built with human hands, the temple in heaven before God, where he offered himself, the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, to bring our salvation. All these images coming together, and so it's hard. The images move us backward to Israel and the relationship that God had with the people in Israel, but the images through Jesus Christ move us forward to a new temple, to a new high priest, to a new way that we are made right with God that we need to own. And when you start then moving away from the temple, we're not yet going to worship. I can't wait. I love in the one Eucharistic prayer we use, the ancient Eucharistic prayer that we have here, and we shall come and we shall stand before our Lord and we shall see him face to face. When I think of that time, then I'm going to look into the eyes of the one who laid down his life for me and took all my filth and all my sin upon himself so that I can stand in the heavenly temple and dwell with his Father forever. Talk about a happy bird, a happy sparrow. I can't even imagine it. Some of that joy, some of that amazement at God's love for us, that he would send us this high priest, this Jesus, the Savior. Some of that comes out in this beautiful song. Two very old dear saints, Simeon and Anna, they dwelt around the temple precincts, and they were waiting for this salvation of God to come, waiting for the one who would come and finally set them free. And so this old man who'd been waiting there and this old woman, Anna, who'd been waiting so long, finally Jesus is brought by Mary and Joseph and presented at the temple. And as they come in, it said the Holy Spirit fell upon Simeon. How do they know? I mean, this is a little kid. There's lots of little kids being brought in and presented at the temple. But the Holy Spirit fell upon him and said, "This is the one." Just like the Spirit fell upon John the Baptist and said, "The Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world." The Holy Spirit falls upon Simeon, and we have memorialized this incredible moment in evening prayer with the Song of Simeon. And I read it to you once again. It's just, "Lord, now let your servant, let me depart in peace." It's another way of saying, now I finally can. I can die because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and to be the glory of your people Israel." A pronouncement not just that this salvation is for the Jews, but that this salvation is even a light to the Gentiles. It is for all people who care to wait patiently, like Simeon and Anna, to wait to be able to see and behold the salvation of God in Jesus Christ, the great high priest. I love that Song of Simeon because I think it gives to me as a pastor, I've had the privilege of coming alongside so many of you and so many people at the moment of death. And I see two ways that people approach death. I've seen people who embrace it. And I've seen over and over again that as people approach death, I think the window or the door between this reality and the next reality, that door flies open. And people will often talk about somebody they see coming for them. And they're happy. They're joyful. The amazing thing is, as I've come to saints, to people who know God, to people who know Jesus Christ as the great high priest, when I come into the room expecting to comfort them, I walk in and I very often see them with a smile on their face. And I leave feeling blessed. I've come into the presence of holiness. And I leave feeling better even though I was trying to comfort them. But I've seen the opposite. I've seen people who didn't know the Lord. And what you see on their face is fear. Because they're not going to be with the one they know. They're not going to be with the one who loved them. They're not going to be with the one who died for them. Somebody that they are intimate with already. And so it's a friend coming for them. And I shall see him face to face and not as a stranger. But for them, it is as a stranger, and so it's fearful. And that's a frightening thing. And so that, "Now let your servant depart in peace." I can't tell you what it means to be able to depart in peace. It's everything. To be able to depart in peace has absolutely nothing to do with what kind of house you live in. Has nothing to do with how much money you've ever made. Has nothing to do with what kind of initials you have in front of your name or after your name. It has only to do with the joy in your heart of coming into the heavenly temple and seeing your Lord face to face. As Simeon beheld the face of Jesus Christ, his Savior, when he was brought into the temple. "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." My prayer for you is that when that moment comes for you, your heart's going to be singing like the sparrows. You're going home. You'll be in the temple. You'll be with the one who loves you. prayer for each and every one of you. How do you get there? You just have the same attitude as Simeon and Anna. You wait. You wait upon the Lord. You ask Him to come, and He will. Because I want to tell you, He loves you. Not because of your goodness. He loves you in spite of your sin. And that's why He died, to take it away. And nothing makes His heart rejoice more as the Good Shepherd than to find the lost sheep and carry them home upon His shoulders. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. And sing with Simeon, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace." My prayer for me, my prayer for you. Let's join the sparrows. Amen.